Heist Who Stole the American Dream is really a connect-the-dots film for people who are scratching their heads and trying to understand what's happening in Washington and also about their own kind of economic insecurity. So it really is about the 99%. I mean, Huffington Post called us a movie for the movement. And my co-director and I, Donald Goldmacher, are both in agreement that whatever the movement is, we want the film to be used in a populist way so that people understand kind of the economic political decision-making of the last 30 years. So there's a lot of history in the film, although not too much. It's a lot about current topics. But we really, for people in their 20s and 30s, many of whom did not know about the New Deal, for instance, and the benefits and, you know, how that came about. So we do a comparison contrast between where we are right now and where we've been, you know, kind of in the past, and more importantly, where we need to go.
Who did you turn to for interviews for the film?
Well, we were really lucky. I mean, we started interviewing. In fact, we were interviewing for the film October 15th, 2008, when Lehman Brothers collapsed. We interviewed Paul Craig Roberts, for instance. He's the father of Reaganomics. We interviewed Alan Blinder, the former vice chairman of the Fed under Clinton. Robert Kuttner, a Demos fellow, founder of the American Prospect, is a very resonant voice in the film and just a great historian and journalist and also economist. So there are a lot of people that predicted what's gone on with the economy, and we gave them a voice when not too many people were, you know, listening to them.
Well, how do some of these economists and policymakers defend what has been happening to the middle class over the last decade or more?
I think a great illustration of that is our interview with Alan Blinder, the former vice chairman of the Fed. We went to him. He wrote a paper in 2005 for the Council on Foreign Relations about this coming outsourcing, restructuring of the economy. He wrote about it. Nobody paid him much attention. And so we look at outsourcing, for instance. And outsourcing in the United States started in the 80s with the steel industry. You know, it started with blue-collar workers. And his paper points out that we're probably going to lose another 30 to 40 million white-collar jobs in the next decade. And this is not something that gets a lot of attention, you know, in the mainstream media. You know, he is, like all economists, by his own words, he says, we're all free market, you know, in the economy profession. We're all, you know, kind of blind ideologues to the free market. And we go on to interview Robert Kuttner on, for instance, the free market. And he says that, his words, not mine, that the free market is actually what makes the free market are laws. And it's a question of who those laws benefit. So then what we do is we begin to understand how free market ideology and the myth of it, if you will, has pervaded decision making at every level of our economics and politics. And what's happened is that a very small number of people have a disproportionate amount of power and, of course, money to influence things in Washington. And as a result of that, fundamentally, the U.S. economy has been restructured, and that's what our film is about, the impact on the middle class.
You mentioned that you began making this film at a time when Lehman Brothers collapsed and big changes were coming to Wall Street. Now we're seeing political movements of the Occupy Wall Street type happening all over the country, including Occupy Tucson. How do you think your film resonates with these current political ideas?
Although we didn't plan it this way, it's about the movement. I mean, it's about the need for the movement. It is absolutely made for the 99%, for the people that are occupying, for any kind of grassroots democratic group, anybody that believes that Washington is out of touch with everyday working Americans, then this movie is for them. And we really, a huge part of our, you know, finishing the movie and moving into marketing and promotion of the movie is to make it available. It's already screened in front of Occupy LA. I'm working with Occupy Phoenix to get them involved. It's going to be screened in Green Valley, which is just north of me, where I live in Tubac. So people that didn't find themselves or who would not normally describe themselves as activists are getting involved. I know, I mean, I'm a journalist you know, and I tell my co-producer that I'm an accidental activist. I mean, I think the, you know, you can't be breathing and, you know, without some concern about what's going on in the country.
You outlined some of the problems and issues that your film is looking at, but what about solutions?
Solutions are a huge part of Heist. When we were building the story, I wrote the script and I, you know, I said, boy, this is way too depressing. You know, this is outlining a very depressing story. We have to include solutions, which is pretty unusual for a documentary. So we go into solutions at the local level, the federal level, for instance, trying to take money out of politics. We look at buying local. We look at calling for a new Green Deal, kind of doing what we did when we mobilized for World War II. You know, we retrofitted all of these factories. And, you know, well, why not? If you're going to give GM, Van Jones is in the film. He says this beautifully. He says, if you're going to give GM, you know, $15 billion of taxpayer, you know, money, why not just put a purchase order on the table for wind turbines? You know, which would help us with our, you know, down the road with global warming and our carbon footprint. So, yes, we do go into solutions. We profile a town in California, Richmond, California. Right smack in the middle of the town is a Chevron refinery. Chevron had not paid taxes, a very small amount of taxes, for years. They got it on the ballot, you know, and made Chevron pay, you know, I think like 400 times more in taxes to help clean up the town and some of the impacts of the refinery.